So when we say in this church that as leaders we have decided to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every time we meet, we mean it. The last time I was scheduled to preach, I was going to preach about hospitality for a couple of reasons. If you remember, Al shared about the insights for this year, and over again, he talked about hospitality. And the Lord had already been speaking to me for quite some time. I had a sermon that I preached like 15 years ago about hospitality, and he's like, return to that. Look at it again. Fix it up a little bit. That's what I want you to preach. Well, the last time I was scheduled to preach, I got bumped by the Holy Spirit. So there was no sermon whatsoever because we do what God tells us to do. So I returned to the sermon about hospitality and had some deeper insight and was really excited about sharing. And about halfway through the service tonight, the Lord said, that doesn't go with what I'm doing tonight. It doesn't fit. So the people online are going to think we're nuts because twice it's been labeled hospitality and it ends up being something else altogether. So tonight I'm not preaching about hospitality either. But I do have something that I want to share with you. And it does go with all that the Lord has been speaking to us tonight. Some of you have heard some of this. But I think every time I tell it, I see more. So hopefully in the retelling, you will hear more. I want to thank you for those of you who prayed for me while I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 7 days with an asthmatic exacerbation. And I had not had any issues with asthma for almost 20 years. To the degree that a lot of people that know me now didn't know that I ever even had a problem with asthma. And I had had it as a child, and I outgrew it. And then in my 30s, I had pneumonia. And it kind of rekindled it again. And I had several years of really battling in and out of the hospital a lot with asthma. And then it just stopped. And it's been close to 20 years. So I got a little cold 2 or 3 weeks ago. And on a Tuesday night at our home meeting, I had a cough. And it was kind of wet, and I was coughing, but I didn't feel really sick or anything. I just had a cough. That was a Tuesday. Thursday morning, I woke up, and if you've ever had asthma, you know what it feels like, and you don't forget what it feels like. And I woke up on the Thursday morning, and I'm like, I'm in trouble. And so, much to my children's dismay, I drove myself to the hospital. And I'll tell you that if you present yourself at that little desk where they take your information and you are gasping for breath, you don't have to wait. They take you right back in. And so, within minutes, I was taken into the emergency room, and within minutes after that, I was on oxygen and receiving a breathing treatment and had all kinds of people checking on me and doing things and tests, and you get attention when you can't breathe. And over the last few years of various and assorted things, not just health things, but just things, circumstances, I've stopped asking why. I won't do that. because I know that God knows why. And I know who I am in God. And I am regularly, every day, sometimes more than once a day, say, Lord, is there anything in me that I need to repent of, that I need to stop doing? Most days there is, I'm afraid to say. But I ask every day. And so I know that it's not a matter of sin. When you find yourself suddenly in a situation that you weren't expecting and that takes you somewhere where you don't want to go. And so I merely said, Lord, what? What are you doing? And what's my part in it? I didn't get an answer right away. It took a few days for that to come. Amazingly, within 3 hours, I hit a room, like a regular room, on a floor with a bed. And that doesn't happen either. And the little transporter brought me up, and they're pretty good about having rooms ready, and usually by the time you get there, your name is on the door. And I got to this room, and my name was not on the door. And I said to the transporter, are you sure this is my room? And she said, yes, I've got the paper right here. This is your room, 2601. This is you. And I said, but that's not me. My name is not on the door. And I kind of sat up on my stretcher, and I looked in, and I said to her, this room is not clean. She said, yes, it is. Yes, the room is clean. It says so on this paper. The cleaner cleaned the room and marked the paper, the room is clean. And I looked again, and I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't think this room is clean. So she kind of huffed her way into the room and came flying out, arms flailing, saying, oh my gosh, the room is not clean. There was food and dirty linen. The room was not clean. But the room was marked clean. Do you know that the enemy tries to trick you sometimes and say that something is good and something is God and it's not? And it doesn't matter if the paper's marked or not. Listen to your spirit. Not every good, seemingly good thing is necessarily God. We have to be discerning. And I knew I'm not going in that room. It doesn't matter what the paper says or who checked off that this room is clean. The room was not clean. And if your spirit is telling you that something is not clean, don't you go. Listen to your spirit. And it doesn't matter who's marked what paper or who's telling you, this is okay. It's really okay. It's really okay to do this. It's really okay to go here. It's really okay to watch this. Don't do it. If your spirit is telling you the room's not clean. So the room was cleaned. And I went in, I had a few more breathing treatments, and I'm still on oxygen, and I'm stable. I'm finally stable. And I had a really nice nurse, what I call an old school nurse, that like does the thing she's supposed to do and takes really good care of you. And I really liked her. And at midnight, I was in my room, I think around 7:30. At midnight, she came in and she said, I don't know why this has happened, but you have a new nurse. I didn't ask for help. I didn't ask for a new nurse. And this is very unusual that in the middle of a shift, they would take me out when I'm doing fine and give you a new nurse. And she told me the nurse's name. It was an African name. She said, he's a gentleman. And he'll be in to introduce himself to you at some point in time. Well, I felt well enough that amazingly, I went to sleep for a while. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. Now, some of you may know, some of you may not know, that 3 a.m., have you heard of the phrase a witching hour? 3 a.m. is an hour where there is a lot of occultic spiritual stuff going on. So at 3 a.m., I woke up with someone's hand over my face. I had the feeling someone was holding my nose closed and had a hand over my face. I opened my eyes and there was no one there, but there was someone trying to suffocate me. I rang the bell, and within seconds, which at 3 a.m. doesn't happen, within seconds, the door flew open, and in comes this little African man. And he came in the room talking. I could hear him outside my door talking, and he flew into my room talking. And I'm suffocating in my bed. I'm gasping for breath. I could breathe out, but I couldn't breathe in. And I could still, I had a feeling of a person's hand over my face, so trying to suffocate me. Because, you know, the room wasn't clean. He came in and he's talking the whole time, but it's not English. And I don't recognize the language that he's speaking in, but he's talking and he comes over to me and all kinds of things are happening very quickly. Breathing machines and oxygen and all kinds of stuff is happening very fast. And the whole time he's talking, but not in English. And I began to realize there's a cadence of some sort to what was coming out of his mouth. And I don't know how I was able to do this, but I said to him, "Are you praying?" I couldn't talk. I don't know how that ever came out of me. And he shook his head, yes. And I'm like, "Okay, God, who's he praying to? Who's he praying to? Because I'm not understanding a word he's saying. Who is he praying to?" And he had come over and he said, "I need to touch you." And I'm like, this man has his hand on me and he's praying. I need to know, who is he praying to? Lord, let me know who he is. And all of a sudden, he's still speaking this unknown language to me. I start hearing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus interspersed in his prayer. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And he's praying and praying and praying. Nothing is changing, but he's got his hand on me and he's praying and he's praying in this language. Now I don't know, is it his native language or is he speaking in tongues? I don't know. Still don't know to this day. And then he looked at me, looked me right in the eye, and with this authoritative voice, which came out of him in this other language, but I heard breath of God. And instantly I went, and started breathing. The enemy had a plan. God had a provision. He changed my nurse in the middle of the night for no reason. Seemingly no reason. He stayed with me about an hour and prayed. And after that time, I started stabilizing once again. And then he said to me in English, "You will not die. It is not your portion to die. You will be all right." And he left my room, and I never saw him again. No one else entered my room the whole time he was there, over an hour, praying over me. And I never saw him again. I know it was documented because the nurse the next day said, "Heard you had quite a time last night." So something was documented. But I never laid eyes on that man again. I did not have the presence of mind, the physical ability, the mental acuity to message anyone for prayer or to ask for help in the middle of the night. But the Lord spoke to Alan and said, "Go to your mother's room and smear the place with oil." So the next morning, he comes in as soon as he's able to, and there's oil being smeared over everything. And I was able to tell him what happened. I believe that the enemy's intention was to kill me. It's not the first time that's happened. But that was not God's intention. And it became very clear to me that that was not God's intention, but here I am, Lord. Here I am in this place. Am I going to believe, as we talked about earlier, that you will, that you can, that you want to work all things together for my good? And not just for my good. What do you want me to do, Lord, while I'm here? What is it that you want me to do? That very day was a Friday. It was a Thursday night that, well, early Friday morning that that all happened. And Friday, my family was meeting, having a dinner together with my daughter that had been adopted, and I wasn't going to be there. But I'm like, "Lord, I have a table in my room, and I'm here, and I don't know all of why I'm here. I know why the enemy brought me here, but here I am. And Lord, I'm going to pray for a spirit of hospitality to enter my room, because I believe that wherever you make a space for God to come, he will come and fill that space." And so I said, "Lord, I'm making a space for you. I'm calling this table, this hospital table, a place of meeting. That's what I'm going to call it. And I'm asking you to come and make this place a sacred place. And let there be a spirit of hospitality in this room. Let your presence rule and reign in this room. Let you accomplish everything that you want to do in me and through me in this season." It began to be clear to me over the next couple of days that this was a multi-layered situation. There were some things in me, the deep things in me, that God wanted to heal. We always need to look to ourselves first and say, "God, what are you doing in me?" And I didn't have many visitors, and I really couldn't accommodate many outside visitors, but the visitors that I did have Every one of them came with a purpose. The first visitor that came had gotten a word of knowledge about something from my past, a trauma from my past, and brought that to me. Actually, I'm sorry, the first was Alan, and that night that he came and smeared oil, and then he came again the next day before that the other word, and I prayed a prayer of surrender. Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm giving you permission to do. I don't know, do you remember when Alan was in the hospital with COVID and he had an encounter with God? Jesus came into his room. You've heard that testimony. And Jesus said to him, "Are you mine?" To Alan, "Do you belong to me?" And he recognized that he was not asking him, "Are you saved?" It was like, "Do you really belong to me? Can I do whatever I want in you, to you, and through you? Do you belong to me?" And I felt that same question. And so Alan came and we prayed and I just surrendered and recommitted my life. And I said, "Lord, all that I am and all that I have is yours. You can take me anywhere you want." Now, let me stop for a minute because I've gotten some feedback about this. I do not believe for a minute that God made me sick. I do not. I will never confess that. I don't believe that it's true for a minute. But I believe that God will take every single circumstance in our lives and work it for his glory and our good. That's what I believe. And so I came to this place again of surrendering and saying, "God, if this is where you have brought me to this hospital, then so be it. And if this is what I need to walk through now, I belong to you. And you can do whatever you want in my life." So that happened. And then the word of knowledge came that spoke so deeply and so personally to me. And then the third visitor came, and it was a traumatic event that had happened to me, and said, "Has anyone ever done representational repentance with you over this issue?" And I'm like, "No." And he said, "Could I?" And I'm like, "Please." Please. And on a level deeper than I've ever gone before, I was able to forgive the perpetrator of the trauma. That was one level that had to happen. I don't know why it had to happen in the hospital. I don't know. There's a lot of things in this that I don't understand. And God has not told me, so I just have to be content with that I don't understand. But that happened. And it happened in that hospital. The very next day, the door flew open. Lisa Butler Fess. And this nurse came in, and it is a woman that I knew about 35 years ago. She and her husband worked for my husband, and we ministered to them, and then we ministered together. Sadly, she and her husband were divorced, and she's not walking with the Lord anymore. And she was my nurse for 4 days. 4 of the 7 days. She got to see and hear and experience the Lord Jesus Christ in my room in those 4 days. I couldn't have done that. She doesn't even live in Rochester. She commutes. She's not a person I would run into at Wegmans. But there we were for 4 days. And I got to share with her time and time again in a very gentle and sweet way. And I have to believe that God has done something is a result of that. Those of you who know me know that I don't have a problem sharing with people. So honestly, the cleaning man, the tray passer, the nurses, the blood letters, everybody got to hear about Jesus that came in my room. But there were a few people where it just went deeper. And the last thing the Lord told me, for days, I was not getting better. I was on more medication than I have ever been on in my life, ever, ever, ever. And I was not getting better. And they would come in and say, we're thinking about taking you to ICU. And I would rally slightly. The whole time I was there, I stayed well enough to stay out of intensive care, but not well enough to go home. And I know this is controversial, but it's the truth. The Lord said to me, it's not the asthma that's keeping you here. Because there's something else to do. It's not the sickness that's keeping you in the hospital. And he said to me, when the work is done, you will suddenly be better. I'm like, okay. So the last and the biggest thing was, some of you may remember that two hospitalizations again. The time where I was in the hallway for all those days, a young couple went by me, if you remember correctly, a 19 or 20-year-old, a boy and a girl. And I heard them say this: the Holy Spirit is showing up too often in this place. We've got to do something about that. And I'm like, what? What did I just hear? And they repeated it. Yeah, the guy says, everywhere I go, I'm running into the Holy Spirit. We have got to do something about that. And the Lord said, are you willing to fight the witchcraft in this hospital? Because there is witchcraft in the hospital. And it wasn't the first time we had encountered that. And I know some of you have come up against that as well. And so for my last few 3 days, the battle was on. I had done the personal stuff. And let me just say this. I truly believe that whatever you fight and whatever you overcome, whether it's personal, whether it's for other people, or whether it's higher level spiritual warfare, it will have a trickle down effect to your children, your grandchildren, your lineage, your generation, your biological children, and your spiritual children, and anyone that you have influence over. And so that's all of you. That's all of you. And the Lord is asking us too, are you willing to go through some things for all of you? Are you willing to do that? Because it will have a trickle-down effect, and you will gain a greater authority in whatever it is that you have overcome. And it doesn't have to be a physical thing. It can be a mental health thing. It can be an emotional thing. It can be a marital thing. It can be a financial thing. Whatever it is that you have fought and overcome, you have greater authority. And the Lord will use you to set other people free. But you got to go through some stuff to get there. And so for those last 3 days, I went to war. And every day they come in and give me the same report. We don't know why you're not getting better. You should be better. on all of this medicine, but you're not better, and maybe we'll send you to ICU. I mean, it was a one-note song. A week, been there a week. Halfway through the morning, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. Oh my goodness, there's no wheezing. Oh my goodness, there is no sign of asthma in me at all. And there has not been, from that day to this day, any sign of asthma in me at all. It was like someone had flipped a switch. And I'm like, okay, God, I guess my work here is done, because I'm suddenly better. And the nurse came in, excuse me, the doctor came in, and she said, how are you doing? And prior to that, every day it would be like, I think I'm a little bit better. And she'd listen to my lungs and go, no, no, you're not. So she came in that day, how are you doing? And I'm like, great. I'm doing great. And she's like, okay, let's give a listen. So she listened to my lungs, and when she came back into my view, her eyes were like this. She had this huge grin on her face, and she's like, do you want to go home? And I'm like, yes, I do. Thank you very much. I want to go home. Do I like being in the hospital? No. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that goes on there. You know, I'm glad purple is my favorite color, because there are parts of my body that are still bright purple from needles and tests and all kinds of things. I didn't sleep. The food. Let me just say, one day I had to look at my menu to determine what it was that was on my plate. And the nurse looked at it and went, oh, don't eat that. And I'm like, no problems, not eating that, not eating that. But very early on, I was confident that whether I understood it all or not, and whatever the enemy's plan for me, God had another kind of a plan. He had something that he asked me to accomplish, that he wanted to do in me, and that he wanted to do through me. I don't begin to understand it all, but here's what I do know. When we don't understand the circumstances of our lives, we can always, always, always count on the character of God. He is always good. He is always good. And he always loves us. And he has his desire is for us to grow and to be known and to know him and to know that we're loved. And I don't care what kind of plan the enemy has for any of you. I don't care. God has a provision, and he has a bigger plan and a better plan. And it doesn't matter what he tries to do. It does not matter what it is that he has planned. God has a better plan. And he's asking you, and I believe he's asking us, he's been asking us all evening long, are you his? Is every single bit of you his? Can he do whatever he wants in your life? Can he take you wherever he wants? Will you surrender to him? Will you rail against him and say, why is this happening to me? Or you say, God, what do you want me to do? I don't like this. I'm not going to pretend I like it. What I do like is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's in my living room or behind this pulpit or in the hospital or wherever he takes me. That's what I want to do. Is it what you want? Do you belong to him? Even if you don't understand it. And do you know what? There are some things this side of heaven we're just not going to understand. We have a need-to-know mentality in America. But there are some things we don't need to know other than who he is and what his character is. The last night I was there, a little nurse came in, sweet girl, her name is Rachel. And she said, I'm going to be off for 4 days and I know I'm not going to see you again, but I just needed you. I had to come in and see you before I go off duty. She said, I don't know what it was about this room. And I don't know what it is about you. But every time I came in this room, something happened to me. She said, I am changed because of whatever it was that was in this room. And because of you. She said, I never once heard you complain. That was the grace of God. I never once heard you criticize. I never once saw you give up. There was some sort of peace about you in the midst of what you were going through that I just don't understand. But I want you to know, I'm changed. I don't think I'll ever be the same. Do those things make it worth it? Yes. Well, wait, Keith might have a song. Can you do some business with God tonight? I'm not going to tell you what it is that you need to do. You know what you need to do.
Are big enough to hold my deepest pains. Your arms are wide enough to engulf my wildest. What's been or what will be, I deep enough to drown even my deepest sorrows. And I know you will wipe every tear, and you collect them in your bottle. You are acquainted with my grief. You are not a high priest who's unfamiliar with my pain. I lay it down
I keep seeing this picture of a racehorse, and the racehorse has been attached to like a plow, and it is just struggling under the weight of this plow and even frustrated with the weight. And then another picture of the racehorse carrying a cart, and again, even just carrying this burden, but wondering why this is not what, it didn't seem, it's not right. And I felt like in the room right now that there are places in, that God has put us, put you, and there's this confusion even, like, I didn't think I was made for this. and that God has put us into seasons and places because it's developing strength and character for the thing that he is developing in us. And that the next scene that I saw was this racehorse completely with nothing on it, just completely free in a beautiful green field, and then running free, and then all of a sudden not knowing what did it do with its freedom, like kind of like, where do I keep running? What do I do? And looking back at the plow, looking back at the cart, and looking forward and like wanting to run, but just was like, to what purpose? And then I saw God come down and begin to saddle the horse. And I believe that we are right now, that God wants to ride us to submit to him, that he has a race for us to run and to win, and that the past seasons have not been for nothing, but they have developed the strength that we will carry into the next season.
We're going to just let God continue to move. I'm going to pray in just a minute, but do we have refreshments tonight? If you're staying for refreshments, please just quietly go there. If you need to leave, please just quietly do that, because the Lord's still moving here. He's still working, and we don't want to stop him. So, Father, we hear you and we want to heed you, Lord, that you will saddle us for your greater purposes. And Father, we pray that you would touch the deep places of trauma in this room. Father, that you would come with healing power. Father, that fear would go, fear of saying yes to you would go, in the name of Jesus. And that you would continue to work. Have your way in us, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. We thank you for meeting us here. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen. So please, if you do have to leave or you do want to go for refreshments, please let's honor those that God is still ministering to.